God, what's not to love about that voice? It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios on 720 WGN. Our next guest is a great friend, one of the most sincere people I know. He's got a voice just like Frank. You better hurry up and see him at Ditka's because sounds like he's leaving. It's our good friend, John Vincent. What the heck is going on?
Well, thank you for having me here, first of all. I appreciate it.
It's great to see you.
It's great
always,
to see you, too.
Always in a good mood. You bring the happy energy to the radio station. I love it.
Fake it till you make it, right?
I see on the news last week that Ditka's losing their lease, and I hear that you're moving on.
Yeah, I don't really know if that is 100% correct. I mean, I think that they're still trying to work a deal out.
Okay, good. That's a Chicago institution.
Absolutely. And it is my second father's birthday tomorrow. Mike Ditka turns 80 tomorrow.
The big 80. Wow.
And I've been with him for 18 years and text him today, and I'll talk to him tomorrow, sing him happy birthday, and I started there a long time ago, and God, he's been such a great mentor, friend.
You love the guy.
So, I love him.
Take me back 18 years ago when you got hired. Did Ditka do it, or did somebody else? And tell me the point when you met Coach Ditka for the first time.
The first, you know who hired me? Mrs. Ditka.
Really?
Yeah. I go in there, and they wanted me to, like, say, you know, there's this guy, he's trying to do Sinatra, we're going to give him a shot. And she goes, sing New York, New York. And I go, okay, let me hook my stuff up. And she goes, no, right now, a cappella. So I was so nervous, I sang it a cappella. She goes, he's hired. And that's a true story. So they gave me, like, a four-month deal.
A four-month deal when I first started. Is that normal?
A year? I don't know. A two-year? And because it was in August, so they hired me for the busy season.
Okay.
September, October, November, December.
Yep.
And then we'll see what happens from
there. Makes sense.
Then it was a year, 2 years, and then I've been there for, it was 18 years. Like a lifetime contract there for like 18 years. And when I first met Coach, it was him, Steve McMichael, Mrs. Ditka, and Misty McMichael, and I was so nervous singing in front of all of them. I was so nervous. I was like freaking out.
Did you know that he was coming to the restaurant?
I did.
Okay.
I did because it was a Thursday night when they had preseason games on Channel 5 with the Bears, and Coach was announcing them.
Okay.
We were waiting. Mr. Ditka was already there.
And you're sweating. You're thinking about it all day.
I was freaking out. Yeah, absolutely. I was really, really scared.
When you get nervous, your throat clogs up.
It does.
So what do you do for that? How do you relax it?
I don't know.
You just start singing and belting it out?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. You could hear it, though. There's, you know, like, I think I sounded horrific in the World Series. I mean, horrific in the World Series.
Oh, I loved it. Stop.
No. It was really bad. I mean, I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I had a cold. But on top of that, I was really, 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 really
nervous. How many games did you sing?
How many games did I sing in the playoffs that year?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And it was game 4 that you sang at the World Series?
Game 4 of the World Series. My favorite one, I have to say, was game 6 when we beat the Dodgers to go to the World Series.
Well, of course.
And then Mr. Ricketts let me go on the field and celebrate with the team. And,
oh, wow.
Oh, man, was that like growing up a Cubs fan. That was crazy.
How did you hook up with the Cubs? So you work at Ditka's for how many years?
Yep.
And then the Cubs come calling you, what, 5 years ago?
No, the Cubs, thank you very much. The Cubs, I started singing there in 2003.
Oh, wow.
I met Larry Rothschild, who's the pitching coach of the Yankees, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He came in there with Ron Coomer and a couple other of the players, and then they said, hey, do you ever want to sing at Wrigley? And it started out, and, you know, I had a couple here and there, and then when Mr. Ricketts bought the team, I was getting more and more, and Crane Kenny, who actually gave me my World Series ring, is unbelievable. You know, the Cubs president, I love the man.
Of course.
And then the guys who are in charge of the anthem, Jim Obojkowicz and Max Berman, are just phenomenal guys, and they I deal with them, and they have me do so many events with the Cubs. I just sang the anthem there 2 days ago for Was it yesterday? Yesterday morning. What's today?
Today's Thursday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay.
It was the front office softball tournament. So it was so awesome. So I'm just walking around the infield and having a blast. Everybody's
singing
out there
during the day on a Tuesday.
It was fantastic.
In October.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish we were playing in October.
I do too. I mean, I do too. But, you know, hey, anytime, I don't live far from Wrigley, so I just like going there. And what they did, growing up as a kid,
oh, yeah,
to now,
that whole neighborhood is transformed.
Oh my God.
It's just crazy.
Back in the day, it was like, you know, it was a donut shop, it was McDonald's.
that huge parking lot.
That's it.
That parking lot with the donut shop, it was such wasted
now
space.
Now it's unbelievable.
It's the
hotel, Zachary.
It's the green area.
The restaurant.
Right.
Everything. Everything.
Why did
it
take
awesome.
So long?
Well, Mr. Ricketts.
Right.
He did it, and he came in.
He had a vision.
Just, he boomed.
You got to give it to him.
Yeah, him and Crane Kenny and them just, I mean, they built that place up to make it a year-round destination.
Right.
Now, so you have the Chris, Kindle Market coming up there,
and
the ice rink and all that. It's a great spot to go. So
that,
I just,
all
I like
of Wrigleyville. They have hotels and bowling alleys and movie theaters now. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's not too far from my house, which I love. Singer John Vincent in studio. Baseball is a business. You were great friends with Joe Maddon.
Yes, still
and,
yes.
He got let go.
Yes.
You must have been very upset about that.
It was sad because I really love Joe. I love Joe. I talked to Joe, you know,
and I've
last
seen
week.
It. I've been at Wrigley and I've seen you two hug on a few occasions.
I love him. I love him and I do a bunch of his charity events and everything and I'm so happy for him with the Angels and I know he's going to be extremely successful there. But, you know, it's weird. You say this. I usually say what I think, like I don't have a filter, and I just kind of, you've had me on the show before.
Right, let me put my hand on the dump button. Go ahead, John.
I talk about, you know, suicide, I talk about depression, talk about things. So I'm not lying. If I don't like somebody, I don't want to talk about them.
Yeah.
I cannot say I've met a person in the Cubs organization I did not like. Everybody has treated me there unbelievably. They've said, Johnny, you're part of the family. So in my heart, I wish it all would have worked out for everybody.
Right, of course.
I love them all.
Right.
Because all of them just... It was just like 2016 was just, it was awesome.
Magical
season. Magical. And it was just like, I wanted that forever.
Right.
I wanted that forever. You know, I told Theo Epstein, you know, when I saw him, like he was so nice to me before, you know, in the first series against the Giants. He goes, you know, I'm Theo Epstein. So nice to meet you. Thank you for what you do. I go, are you freaking kidding me? I know who you are. When we win the World Series, you're going to go down as the greatest, you know, GM, president in baseball history, the Red Sox and the Cubs. So, I love all them, and then I love Joe, and I wish it just could have always gone on and on, and I know that, you know, they know better than me, and they do what they want, and they all, you know, they think that, but I'm just the anthem singer and a fan. That's all I am. I'm nothing. I can't tell you baseball ins and outs and all that stuff. I could tell you football a lot more because I played it, but yeah, there's just nobody there. It's just a great family there.
Give me
I
that,
wish it could have been forever.
Give me that feeling when you're on the field, especially during a playoff game,
yeah.
when you're singing and the crowd is screaming and you're halfway through the song. And you know you got half of it to go and you get so excited inside. How do you compose yourself so you don't lose it?
You know, I don't know. You just sing it like, you know, I never was an anthem singer. I started out singing Sinatra songs and then singing other voices and all these up to 29 voices now. So the anthem was not something I was thinking of singing. And then a couple places asked me and I started doing it. Another real great one was Duke, North Carolina at Duke.
Oh,
that
my
was awesome.
Gosh.
I mean, to be there with the Cameron Crazies and all that, that was phenomenal.
Wow, who calls you on that one? Hey, you want to come down to Cameron Indoor?
John Shire. The coach with under Coach K called the Cubs and said, we want to get Johnny. He's friends with Jim Obojkovic with the Cubs, who does, you know.
How great is that experience?
And oh, my God. It was
amazing. Like a high school gymnasium. I went down there probably 7 years ago because it was on my bucket list.
You know who was there? Was the guy from The Hangover because he went there. what's his name?
Which one? Bradley Cooper?
No.
Ed Helms?
No.
Zach Galifianakis?
The Asian gentleman.
Ken Jeong?
Yes. And he's like a doctor or
he
something.
He is a doctor in real life.
Oh, my God. He was hilarious. He was like dancing in front of everybody. The guy is just awesome.
He is crazy.
It was so fun. It was just like just a great experience, you know. And there's nothing like that.
When is your last day at Ditka's?
My last day at Ditka's, I have two more shows. I have a wine dinner on the 15th of November, and then I have my last show on the 23rd. Now, all the seats are full and taken and sold out, I guess.
Okay.
But people are more than welcome to come up to come to the bar or anything.
Hang out at the bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or go somewhere else and listen to a better singer.
Well, I'm going to stop. I'm going to take a break, and I want you to fill us in on what you're doing next, what your next step is. And I want to talk about your fight with depression, because you've been very open about that.
Yeah.
You've talked about bullying, so we'll talk about that when we come back.
You got it.
John Vincent's here. Please follow him on Instagram. You posted something today. It was Sinatra taking a selfie.
Yeah.
He was taking a picture in a mirror, and you posted that. I'm like,
I saw that. I came across that. Somebody put it out there, and it's Sinatra with a camera taking a picture of himself, and he's like, really young. He's taking a picture of himself in the mirror.
Right. That's pretty impressive.
It was so cool.
John Vincent 72 on Instagram.
Yes.
You're a good
Twitter,
follow.
Instagram and Twitter, yes.
More with John coming up next. It's 720 WGN. More. You can hear that voice live. I mean, that's exactly what you sound like. John Vincent, after 18 years, Chicago Treasure is leaving Ditka's on October 23rd. So what is the next step for you? Where are you going?
So the next step is I'm going to take a couple weeks off here, because the show I'm doing next, I spoke with, you know who Tom Dreesen is?
Of course.
Tom. I spoke to Mr. Dreesen not too long ago for some advice, because what I did at Ditka's was I just sang, and I would just sing. And if I can speak when we're talking, or if I'm, you know, speaking about bullying and I know where I'm going with it.
Right.
But it is really hard for me to kind of like speak in between songs and kind of tell a story like Sinatra did and everything. I don't know, for some reason that kind of just jumbles me up.
You're kidding.
No. And so I talked to Mr. Dreesen, who is, you know, was on the, you know,
he
David
opened,
Letterman show.
He opened
so many
for
times.
Frank Sinatra for
13
for
years.
Years.
Was Frank Sinatra's Paul Bear. I mean,
right.
He's unbelievable. And he said, Johnny, you have to have a start, you know, a middle and an end. And it's going to be something totally different. It's going to be a visual experience with the sound. So it's going to be a whole new concept.
You're going to be on a soap opera.
No. but it's going to be at a place called 365 next to RBI's Bar. It's right across the street from Wrigley.
Okay.
And they have a bunch of events there. It's that glass roof. And it's actually like 3658 North Clark. So right across Wrigley, right across Gallagher Way. And I'm going to be doing Thursdays through Sunday in December there, except for the 7th, 8th, and the 14th, like holiday shows. Christmas shows. All we're going to transform the whole place into
really?
Like a winter wonderland inside.
Okay.
But this glass roof does retract. But even when it's closed, you could see the whole thing.
Right.
And they've had
right.
some really amazing events there. And then Sinatra's birthday is on December 12th. And we're going to have a big show there, and I'm going to have either somebody open for me, like a comic. Or another singer.
Okay.
The team that I'm working with, you know, just told me that today. Johnny, what do you want to do? We want to have somebody.
I wish I had a team. I got one guy. It's Michael over there, right behind the glass.
That's all you need. He's the best. you don't need any more. So this is like a pop up, and then eventually, I'm going to have my own place, very very close to right here, opening February of 2020.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're all grown up now.
All grown up.
Man, you've come a long way.
Up. What are you talking about? You walk in. Is that the green? We call it the green room? Or
the
what
green
do you call
room.
It? So the green room is gorgeous here. It has a beautiful, you know, windows. You can see Navy Pier.
Yeah.
Great couches.
18th floor.
18th floor.
Right.
Huge TV.
Yeah.
And you go, Johnny, you're here for an hour earlier. You don't know me that well.
John Vincent
you
showed
understand?
Up. He was scheduled at 10:35. You show up at 9:25.
Well, my fat ass walked from Lincoln Park, and I stopped a couple times. I stopped at Starbucks, and I stopped at Walgreens. And then I was like, all right. So I came up here, but I was like happier than a pig in blank, S-H, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Because there was a TV, and I'm watching Seinfeld. And
laying
watched,
on the couch.
Yeah. I watched the Seinfeld one where Georgia was a fake marine biologist.
Okay.
So
of course.
It was awesome. I might go back in there after this and go to sleep.
You can hang out all night. That's the best. I want to get serious for a second.
Yeah.
You've gotten serious. Well,
before.
I want to talk about depression because the last time we had you on, we had you on with Dr. Bell Nandra from ChicagoIVSolutions.com. Dr. Bell came in and you talked about your struggles with depression.
Yeah.
And it's working.
It's working. Yeah,
Ketamine treatment is working for you.
Yeah, it is. I'm nuts. I mean, I have OCD, depression, and anxiety. So we're all a little crazy. I think we all are.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, my brain is scrambled with just anxiety from, you know, being bullied. And plus, it's a chemical, you know, thing with depression that people don't understand. Depression is chemical. And it's not, everybody can feel sad.
Right.
But sometimes when you get sad for no reason whatsoever, and it lasts for long, that's depression.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that. And I just did an interview earlier this year before ketamine that came out, which was with a band for the broken. I think it was called Stay Alive. And it's on my Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter. And it talks about how, you know, if this can help one person, that I understand what you're going through. And the biggest thing that helped me is people who are depressed said, John, listen. Because when somebody can say that to you, you listen because they know what they're talking about.
Of course, because they're going through it.
A lot of people, they've experienced it. A lot of people just be like, well, just be happy, you know, and you can't.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Who doesn't want to be happy?
Right, we all want to be happy.
Or whatever, right? So, you know, I want to just break the stigma. And if I have to look weak, quote unquote weak, which I don't think it is.
Absolutely not.
Then I'll do it. I'll be the guy that does it, because if it saves people's lives, then that's good. I'll look as weak as you want to make me look. I don't care, as long as other people can get help from it and other people don't feel alone. We're all in this together. This goes in a blink of an eye. And you know what? And it's just, you know, be kind or be nothing. And, you know, I grew up and I was angry for many, 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 many years because of being bullied and everything. And at some point, you just have to just say, like, what do you want to do with your life?
Right.
You know, do you want to make people happy or do you just want to go through it miserably?
When did you have that that aberration where you said to yourself, okay, I got to do something?
Well, when I did, first time was, my sister was awesome. I mean, she used to work at Loyola and she brought me to a doctor there when I was 18 years old.
Okay.
But I struggled and struggled and still struggled. The ketamine was the big game changer. Now, I changed my outlook on a lot of things before ketamine, and I wanted to do things that can make an impact. If it's talking about bullying or talking about mental illness.
You visit schools, you talk about mental illness to people.
Yeah. But the ketamine made me it opened up my eyes, and it really did a number on my depression. Like, I'm stressed with this new show and leaving Ditka's and all this stuff. But without, you know, therapy and Dr. Ball with ketamine, I just had a couple treatments a while back. It makes it so much easier. But then, like Joe Madden, what he used to always tell me, like, Johnny, don't forget meditation. Meditate. And I don't
got to have quiet time.
Yeah, I don't
just have quiet time. I can't sit there with the crisscross legs and the whole deal. It doesn't work for me.
But that's like huge, that and yoga. And I should do that. You know, I should.
We all should. But if you take a moment and just relax your body.
Yeah.
That's meditation. Or sit in your car with everything off before you walk into a meeting. Yeah, just breathe.
Well, I had a really good friend of mine tell me, his name is Perry Mandera. I love this guy. He said, Johnny, he goes, when somebody drowns, he goes, the reason why they drown is because they panic and they get, their breath gets really shallow and they're fighting to it, you know, and all this. He goes, deep breaths.
Right.
And if you hear people say that, they tell you, breathe deeply.
Yep.
And slow down. And like right when you take that deep breath,
the first breath, you feel it in your body.
Yeah,
you relax.
You do.
But this is what I love about you. Here was a guy like you on a national stage singing the national anthem at the World Series, and you can talk about this, and people can relate to you. I mean, kids see you on TV, and oh my gosh, you're bigger than life. But when you walk into schools and talk about how you were bullied as a kid, that helps kids. It does. You're doing good work.
It's amazing. You know, we go into these big auditoriums, and sometimes there's about 100, sometimes there's as many as 600, 700. And then, you know, I'll speak a little bit, and nothing's ever scripted. And then the kids will come up and ask questions, and they're really smart. I mean, the stuff they come up with and say, it's pretty amazing. I'm like, wow. You know, the tough thing is that me and you, and I don't know if you ever were bullied, but the tough thing is now, compared to back in the day, is this cyberbullying.
Yeah, it's rough.
So they
stuff.
can't get away from it unless you know, I got my phone in front of me. Everybody always has
their phone in their hand.
All of us, we always do. So, you know, they don't have like that unless they put it away and don't look at it. It's like they're cyberbullying and all these other things, and it's just like, wow. Like, that's just so much stuff coming at you. It really, you feel for people.
You're doing great work, man. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. It really is.
John Vincent 72 on Instagram. Follow him on Facebook. You know I love you.
I love you too. I want to say one more thing. My cousin Christina passed away 3 years ago of uterine sarcoma. I think I'm saying it correctly. We are having a benefit for her at Edgewood Valley Country Club on Saturday. I'll be singing at, I think it's ChristinaCares.org or something
like
that.
Is it on your Facebook page?
I'll put it on my Facebook page.
Please put it on there because we'll all check it out.
Yeah. It's my memory's bad. I'm
and
sorry.
Continued success, and I will see you at the new place, and I will post it too. First night.
Thank you, brother.
John Vincent, everybody. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN.